Welcome to this episode of the Pharmaceutical Executive Podcast. I'm Miranda Schmalfus, an editor with Pharmaceutical Executive. This week, Peter Axe, founder and CEO of UpScript Health, is back, and we're talking tariffs. Peter and I discussed the potential impact that tariffs will have on the pharmaceutical industry, particularly how it will affect those dealing with branded medications and generics, how they could lead to strategic supply chain changes, including potential U.S. manufacturing shifts, how digital health platforms like UpScript Health can reduce friction and costs in healthcare, potentially offsetting tariff impacts, the importance of telehealth and ensuring medication availability, and much more. So without further ado, Peter, thanks so much for coming back.
Sure, delighted to be here. Great to see you.
So, first question, and probably something that's big on everybody's minds, will tariffs drive up the pharmaceutical costs, and are there particular types of tariffs or drug categories that will be more affected than others?
When you think about tariffs, you really have to think about how they impact micro markets. So let's, for example, think about there's generic medications and there's branded medications. And let's think about those as two micro markets for a minute. The branded medications, the cost of branded medications comes from two things, right? It comes from raw materials and it comes from labor. So if the price of raw materials goes up or increases in price for what we're importing in raw materials, certainly that's going to, on its face, impact the price of the development of that medication. However, the fact that it's impacting the price of that medication will not necessarily impact the price to the consumer. Because think about all the intermediaries involved in healthcare. There's payers involved, there's PBMs involved. And because of that, what you will see is, let's say, an increase in price in raw materials, increase in price in the manufacturer of that branded drug. And the person that's going to really bear the brunt of that is really the pharmaceutical company in the short run. Now, in the long run, it impacts all consumers. But in the short run, it's really the pharmaceutical company because they have to renegotiate contracts with their PBMs and renegotiate pricing. I mean, some of the contracts might have specific clauses that deal with tariffs as an issue, but most won't. So there'll be a lagging effect on any price increase to individuals. And really, it's the pharmaceutical companies that will bear the brunt. The second piece of that analysis is the other micro market, generics. If you think about generics, a lot of the cost of manufacturing generic is really the raw material. Tariffs may have a larger impact there. And not only that, but the generics marketplace is a thin margin marketplace. So you could even see perhaps a curtailment of some supply as manufacturers decide they're not going to manufacture certain drugs that require increasing prices in raw materials that they can't pass on to the consumer. So it really depends on how quickly they'll be able to pass that pricing on to the consumer. The other side of that argument is the consumer price for generics is so low that to go up 10 or 20% isn't really going to be a very dramatic number. So you may not see a large impact in the generic space at all, or you might see certain manufacturers deciding that they don't want to be involved any longer in manufacturing certain drugs. Now, having said that about the micro markets of tariff pricing, I think one of the bigger implications of tariff changes that will take place is in the boardroom. Because if you think about it, what sudden tariffs are doing is forcing companies to analyze their strategic supply chain. Where are their supplies coming from? What manufacturing do they need to bring into the United States? What manufacturing do they need to redevelop? Do they need to redeploy assets and resources? And those are board level discussions. So frankly, I think tariffs have an instantaneous effect on pricing, right? But they have a much longer term impact on strategically, how is the supply chain going to evolve? Where is manufacturing going to move? And if you're a board member of a major pharma company today, you've got to be asking yourself, is your company properly positioned to deal with supply issues when tariffs come and go? And it looks like tariffs might be in the sort of vernacular for at least the next 4 years and probably longer.
That's an interesting point. It's almost as if, well, not almost as if, but like the board has to think of the company as a consumer, right? And then think about how those costs are going to impact them and then how that will trickle down and affect their consumers of their products. That's very interesting.
The board's directors, look, they have to think in terms of strategic issues. And the core strategic issue is, What happens if tariffs have such a deleterious effect on China deciding to whether or not they're going to sell anything in the United States? Suddenly, pharma could be really harmed. So they have to be sure that they solve that problem in their supply chain. So they're going to have to start bringing manufacturing into the United States. And that, you know, that doesn't happen instantaneously. There's all sorts of regulations around building FDA facilities. And there's a lot of, for instance, there's a shortage of labor in this country, which makes it even harder. And how do they deal with issues that we have in terms of supply chain? So, long-winded way of saying, pharma companies are going to be very focused on where does future supply come from. Probably it's going to move onshore at some level. And that's going to take some time, but that's a discussion that I'm sure is going on in boardrooms every day now.
So we were talking about that a little bit before, but tariffs could impact consumer demand for sure. So what strategies can pharmaceutical companies and digital health platforms like UpScript Health employ to mitigate this potential drop in demand due to the increased costs?
So tariffs will increase costs, short run and long run, have different effects on the supply curve, but the bigger issue is how do we solve the systemic problems that are involved in healthcare? And that's where digital platforms like UpScript Health come into play. The number one thing we have to do is take the friction and cost out of the system. And that's what we do every single day. We make trained clinicians available to patients right away. We make the insurance reimbursement process a lot simpler. In terms of, we'll process the prior authorization for patients, we'll process a lot of things behind the scenes to help the patient get on therapy as fast as they can. So we sort of take friction out of the system. And that's really going to be the job of digital health companies like UpScript. And that's going to continue to be the job. Take costs out of the system, take friction out of the system, make medications accessible. And if we can take some costs out of the system, we might actually offset any effect the tariffs have.
Beyond cost, how might tariffs affect the availability and accessibility of specific medications? You did touch on this a little bit, particularly for patients relying on direct-to-patient telehealth.
If you think about the way direct-to-patient telehealth works, is we allow a consumer to go on the web and talk to a clinician right away, assuming they're prescribed some medication, then we have to somehow assure availability or at least have some insight into availability. So one of the real benefits of our UpScript Health platform is that we're able to partner with pharmaceutical companies to be sure that we have supply available, or that they've partnered with a fulfillment partner that is assured to have supply available. So in a lot of ways, we can solve kind of nuances in the market that make supply difficult because of tariffs. And we do that by, you know, think about a pharma company that engages with UpScript to develop a platform. We end up partnering with a fulfillment partner, and we can assure the supply through that fulfillment partner because we're dealing with the manufacturer. And the manufacturer can help make sure that medications are accessible. So, in a lot of ways, telehealth can mitigate the impact of tariffs and the changes in supply that may occur. And I think only time will tell which medications it impacts and how it impacts, whether it impacts generic drugs more than it does branded drugs. There will, of course, be some level of impact. But it won't be across the board. It's going to be in different pockets. For example, it will be easier to get medication in New York City than it is in Des Moines, Iowa, for example. And so telehealth can help sort of mitigate those differences.
Well, I definitely think that the assurance of knowing that a medication is available, especially in a time that just in general, there's a lot of uncertainty right now. So even just having the assurance that, okay, I need this prescription, UpScript will tell me that it's available, that's a sigh of relief for a patient, I'm sure.
So and we even have partnerships where prescriptions will be sent to local pharmacies, Walgreens, CVS, and so on. And our patient support team will call pharmacies in advance to be sure that there's supply. When there have been real shortages in drugs that we're aware of, we will call in advance and do that legwork on behalf of the patient. Again, we can do that because we're a digital platform, things are streamlined, we use AI, and there's lots of ways we can streamline this and we can do it cost effectively that in other models you really can't do very cost effectively.
So you've alluded to some partnerships that you guys have been making recently. So how can digital health platforms become strategic partners for pharma companies seeking to maintain accessibility and manage cost pressures?
Look, the light bulb has gone off in pharma, right? Every single pharma company we're aware of is we're in some level of discussion with about the platform that works for them, the direct-to-patient solution that works. And what we've seen is a massive shift from sort of simple prescribing of a medication when someone has a migraine headache, that letting that patient try a new medication perhaps, or shifting them to a different medication, to what is a really complex ecosystem of healthcare. So we're now involved in platforms for pharma companies where we will send patients to injection centers or to infusion care centers. And so the level of care and the complexity of the patient flow is really evolving to a much more complex world. That's sort of digital health 2.0 for us, the way we think about it. And the way that really helps pharma, if you think about all the problems we have in the current model for the delivery of care, right? Patients can't get appointments very quickly. Patients don't know what that cost of appointment is going to be for them. They don't know what their copay is. They don't know what insurance is going to cover. They don't know if it's in network, out of network. They oftentimes don't know where the fulfillment's coming from and whether or not there's a supply of the medication that they need or the treatment that they need. We can solve all those problems by working with our pharma partners. So when a pharma company decides to be on the UpScript Health platform, it's not just a simple discussion of we're going to put a button on your website, patients will click on that button and see a telehealth provider. It's a much more complicated discussion about what is the patient journey and how do we really make that patient journey a good experience, a positive experience, literally changing the paradigm of healthcare. And I think, by the way, that's why pharma is so interested in these platforms, because they realize they have to help be an instigation for the changing of how healthcare is delivered.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that having like that comprehensive offering and working to help make it easier on the patient. I've had a lot of conversations about distrust and like that trust gap between patients and the pharmaceutical industry. And it's mostly been based around social media, but that's a way to build that trust and say, hey, we do care and you know, we want to make this better. We want to make it easier on you. And I think that that'll give patients a more of a warm, fuzzy feeling and help them kind of build that trust back. Do you think so?
Miranda, that's a great point and not spoken of often enough. And that is that pharma is taking this opportunity to be closer to the patient and to be part of the solution rather than to be viewed as part of the problem.
I think that that's the way that it should be because at the end of the day, we're looking for solutions for rare diseases or just illnesses in general that impact day-to-day lives, that we should be celebrating finding any type of solution to something, especially if it works long term, especially if it works for bigger patient populations and can be applied across so many diverse populations.
Right.
That's a wonderful thing.
Look, think about what pharma does at its core is incredible. They make people healthy. They take real diseases and find problems. If you just look at the GLP-1 market, how many people are going to have their lives enhanced by having GLP-1 medications available to them? The real headline should be pharma is incredibly helpful to Americans, incredibly important to Americans. It shouldn't be drugs are too expensive or they can't get the drug they want at the right time. All of that noise, and a lot of it doesn't even have to do with pharma. It has to do with our system of payments and PBMs and the whole modeling of how healthcare is delivered today and how pharmaceuticals are distributed today. It's not really pharma that's the cause of that, and yet pharma gets blamed for it. So pharma here has an opportunity to really shine. And, like we've been talking about, I think they are. They're taking advantage of the opportunity. They realize this is a unique moment in the life cycle of healthcare delivery.
Absolutely. Can you share some insights on how your recent partnership with Pfizer is helping to navigate current challenges in drug pricing and delivery? We were just talking about it, and how it might be relevant in a scenario with increased tariffs.
I can't speak for Pfizer, but I can tell you my view is that Pfizer has made a strategic decision to be a part of the solution for the problems in healthcare. It's not about selling a medication specifically to a patient, or it's a lot about delivering care that they can help solve the patient's problem. And that might mean that the patient is prescribed their drug. It might mean that the patient is prescribed 10 other drugs, but they're going to provide a mechanism that patients can access care and receive great treatment. And if you think about Pfizer for All, right, they're not focused in on the brand strategy down below where you're kind of looking at specific medications. They're focused on, let's treat migraine headaches. Let's treat respiratory illnesses, including COVID. Let's treat whatever category of disease they want to treat. And let's just be sure that we're helping patients get great access to care. And I give Pfizer enormous credit for their approach to this problem.
It's almost like, who is it in the insurance world for like car insurance? Like, I think maybe it's Progressive with like, we'll show you all of our competitors. We'll show you all of the options. Do what's best for you. And I think that that's very admirable. And again, back to the trust thing, that helps build that when they say, hey, listen, we want you to find whatever therapy is going to work for you as a patient, even if it's not something that we make. We want to give you all of that information, let you be the informed consumer. That's another term I've been using a lot. Let you make that decision as the patient and be an advocate for yourself.
We're going to make it accessible. We're going to give you all the tools. We're going to give you all the access. And you're going to choose what's best for you, working with your clinician who's an expert.
Awesome. Well, Peter, I love talking to you. I know this is like our third or fourth conversation, I think. You know, I love to talk to you. So,
Well, I love talking to you, Miranda. Thank you very much for taking time. I just really enjoy our conversations always.
thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Pharmaceutical Executive Podcast, where we take you behind the headlines to provide expert tips from industry leaders. Remember, you can always find us on the web at pharmexec.com. On Facebook under Pharmaceutical Executive Magazine, on X at PharmExec, and on Instagram and Threads at PharmExecutive. The views on this podcast do not reflect those of MJH Life Sciences, our parent company, or our advertisers. For editorial questions or to get in touch with our editors, please email us at pharmexec@mjhlifesciences.com. And for sponsorship opportunities, please go to pharmexec.com/advertise. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time.